Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Welcome in. Okay, we got 4.5 hours of sporting conversation coming up here for you. General at your service, at ease. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75, and Fitzhugh fixing to go 4.5 flawless. Keep the Gators down best he can. Woolchuck and Shea follower here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Everybody good?
How about this one for you, Dawson? Wonderful. Right off the jump, metrics tell you that the Packers offense is number one in the league versus no pressure.
Ooh.
Oh.
Defense is ranked 32nd.
Great.
Passing versus no pressure.
Great. Well, that's good wild thing we got Clowney coming. Let's go.
That's right.
Couple of news items here over the last hour. And yeah, we got to talk about Clowney and what impact he can have. If he's just as good as he was last year, he will be the Cowboys' best pass rusher, and that's not saying a lot, because if you turn it on from last year, it's not like he was a menace. He was just a kind of a guy that could get it done. But the Texans are releasing C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Surprise there, had 6 picks in a Super Bowl with the Eagles last year. Apparently, he's very opinionated, and that was part of the reason the Bird Turds dealt him. He told the Pivot podcast Ryan Clark, over the offseason, the Eagles didn't move on from me for financial reasons. They traded me out of fear. Apparently, there was a miscommunication on a play that led to the Jaguars' game-winning drive on Sunday. Reports are now saying out of Houston there's been friction in meetings, criticism of teammates, and complaints about his role. So he is available. I don't think the Cowboys will have any interest in that. Maybe if they were one player away, but I don't want to put up with a headache to just be a little bit better at safety. And then Jordan Schultz was first to report the Giants are benching Russell Wilson and rookie Jackson Dart's going to start in week 4 against the Chargers. Call your shot here, guys. Is Jackson Dart going to be a good NFC East QB that we got to worry about?
I think so.
Say Daniel Jones is the over-under. Better?
Over. Over.
What makes you so confident?
I think this guy right here is a winner. I think he's accurate. I think he's got an element of toughness to him. I think he's got some Baker Mayfield ability to draw his teammates into the way he handles himself. I think that he gets along with everybody. He's a guy that the teammates like playing with. And I think he's got a lot of ability to move around in a pocket. He can make some tough throws. He's the deep ball accuracy. I mean, they've got receivers. Obviously, we saw that firsthand in that game against the Giants, that if you get a guy that can put the ball out there and make those tough throws, they got guys that can go get it. So I think this is – I'm surprised he didn't play in week 2 myself. But here we are. They're 0-3. They got to do something. General manager's about to lose his job. So is the head coach.
It's time to find out.
Time to find out.
I think for a lot of Cowboys
fans, you might be
fans.
Getting him ready for somebody else, which is really kind of strange to say, but – here you are.
It might save your gig, though. You know,
yeah, sure. Absolutely.
It'll be interesting. When he came in against the Cowboys, it was just option stuff.
Yeah. You didn't see him throw.
So I do wonder what they consider him ready for. But in terms of wins and losses, I don't think they're losing anything by benching Russell Wilson and seeing what Jackson Dart might be capable of doing. Cowboys are not going to do a video tribute to Micah Parsons. Are they making the right decision here, Woolchuck?
Yeah, I mean... Sure. I think that the crowd's probably going to give him a nice ovation. It's funny. They did one for Zeke when he came back as a Patriot. So I think everybody's just getting video tributes, but it was interesting hearing Jerry this morning, and he's like, yeah, you know, it wasn't feelings or anything like that. I think clearly the reason you're not giving him a video tribute is because of that.
Yeah.
Or else you would.
Yeah, absolutely. This became personal. You know, this one, you know, the fact that he was interested in going to a doctor, a second opinion and all that to try and find ways to get paid and not have to play.
I don't think I'd do a tribute for him though. And it's because of what he said in the trade request. I don't want to be a Cowboy anymore. I think tributes are for guys that spent longer, won more than one playoff game. Mm-hmm. And it was just a cap casualty. We had to let you go. We love you. You know, we were in two different places as a player in an organization. I understand it. It was only four seasons. Chief, where do you come in?
Well, I'm totally with you on this. I'm curious, if the Seahawks were coming to AT&T Stadium, would we do it for Tank?
Yeah, I think they would.
Has he met the threshold, perhaps?
I think
perhaps?
They would do one for Tank. I mean, yeah. he had two contracts here, and I don't think that he left, you know, although he did make the comment, I wouldn't win in a Super Bowl in Dallas. Now, I don't think he's winning one in Seattle, but I think they absolutely would be doing one.
Watch out, old Sammy D.
It's just a video. It's not like you have to sacrifice anything. You know, the timeouts are 4 minutes long. We got plenty of time and space to, you know, at least put something together coming out of a timeout. It doesn't have to be like a preseason type of situation. But I think it's fitting, you know, how adversarial it became, how Micah Parsons was dancing, yeah, as fans were chanting, sure, Jerry Jones. I kind of want my organization to say, no, if you really didn't want to be here and you're celebrating being somewhere else, that's where we're going to draw the line. And, you know,
I'm here for the toxicity.
Yeah.
Screw the Packers. One, I hate them. They're coming into AT&T Stadium. I don't think they've ever lost here. Let's just make this as hostile as possible. He's the enemy.
Yeah.
Screw this. We're not giving you a tribute. You're playing for a team that we hate. I still hate the fact that he's on that team. They shouldn't have traded him there. But, yeah, we don't need to make this a lovey-dovey affair.
There's animosity involved, you know, and I think there's very little animosity from the fans because Micah never did anything. But I think you could have a video tribute if the players, you know, were insisting on it, or if the coaching staff loved him, or if somebody inside that organization. But I think part of the reason he's gone is the same reason we're not getting a video tribute. It's just that he is kind of a lone wolf, you know, and I don't know. I think, you know, for the most part, Micah Parsons is a good enough guy. You know, he's just not super social and, you know, doesn't make it a point to be a friendly get-along guy with everybody, and maybe that's what's coming to roost here. Jerry with Sean and RJ this morning, I've had this thought several times over the years, but this morning it hit me really hard as just they're not bothered enough by losing. You know, he's talking about how exciting this is to have the Packers, and it's only week three, and, you know, we're still capable of making the playoffs. And, you know, I'm just like, you have to hate losing. And he is much more interested in engagement farming and getting anybody listening interested, even on sports radio, where very few people out there are optimistic. He's like, he's talking to people that aren't paying attention at all and looking for a sucker that still wants to come out to AT&T because he knows the ticket prices for this thing are plummeting. Cowboys fans have in mass flooded the market. The price might go under $200 to get in. You don't even need to be a party pass fan. If you want to go out to AT&T and watch a team that might end up in the Super Bowl this year, you can do that at a very affordable price for one of the game's greatest rivalries.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, it's just about the bar is so low for this team to feel like this is good enough. And when he's out there like trying to sell interest instead of, you know, what I feel like CY would be doing, or, you know, even Nico, for his level of urgency, did he make the right decision? Hell no, he didn't by trading Luka Doncic. But he had a vision and he was willing to boldly and urgently do what he felt like was going to make. This team is just cruising through, resting on its laurels, living off its past, and trying to get whatever fan out of the tens and tens of millions are foolish enough to go buy a ticket to go sit and watch that dumpster fire. They don't care that they're bad.
I think
everything's fine. Sorry, Brian.
No, it's okay. I think what he really might be doing here is, now that he is in the Hall of Fame, I think he feels a responsibility to the league. And he's trying to sell, I think, the league. You know, when you start to talk about, you know, the rivalries and stuff like that, he's going to get his money regardless. He really is. He's going to get TV money. you know, selling tickets and all that. That's nice. You know, merchandise.
If you're going to get it, then have some standards and say, hey, guys, this isn't good enough. Well, we suck, and I'm not going to rest till we're better. If you're going to get all your money, he looks at it like when things get boring, he's going to stir it up or sell.
But his words exactly.
Well, he feels a responsibility to sell the game. He feels like he's a steward of the game.
Yeah.
Is what he is. And
that sucks that fans have to put up with an owner that's more interested in that than winning.
No, that's true. I mean, absolutely. Now, it falls on his son and Will and Shoddy and those guys.
Yeah.
But when he talks as a steward of the league, as a member of the Hall of Fame. That's what that's his ideas. Now, if you want, like I say, if we want to go after, you know, Steven and Will and go after Shoddy and anybody else that's involved with the organization, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But I know him. I know Jerry. He really does love the game of football and he's trying to promote the game of football. That's what he's trying to do. Everybody else is the one that's doing the picking the players and stuff.
Yeah, it's like he's a minor league guy. Like, hey, come on out. Doesn't matter where we are in the standings. You got baseball in town tonight. Don't you want to come have fun watching it? Well, not really. Yeah. You know, I need the context of knowing my team has a chance of being champions at some point. Otherwise, it's just a sports spectacle that you're selling. And right now, the only thing intriguing about this organization is how he'll react after back-to-back double-digit loss seasons. It's the only thing interesting. Maybe that will make them urgent enough to shake things up.
He did it for 3 years. We were bad. We were 5-11 bad for 3 years.
And Brought
we were,
in Parcells?
We were far, far worse than this team right here.
Well, the thing that's unfortunate is this league is so watered down. I mean, apparently Detroit and Philly are still the best after losing their coach, losing their all-pro center, losing half a dozen players off Philly. We're still the best. Indianapolis might be the best in the AFC with Daniel Jones.
For 3 weeks.
Let that sink in. All you have to do is really, really, really want to win, and you can in this league.
Somebody next week is going to be 1-3 between Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah, right.
Somebody is going to be 1-3.
That's fascinating. Yeah. That was incredible last night, the theater of Monday Night Football with Derrick Henry fumbling for the third time this season. He's beside himself. He can't believe what he just did. But Lamar Jackson was sacked 7 times.
Yeah.
He was amazing outside of that with the 3 touchdowns, no picks, and 288 yards. And watching him might be the best ticket in all of pro football. But Henry with 2 fumbles that have put this team at 1-2 instead of 3-0. It's unbelievable. I think Baltimore's going to be just fine. They just might have to play on the first weekend now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're clearly not the same level of one of these like 3-loss teams for a season. Like we've seen, Baltimore can really run it up in the regular season, but their defense is getting tore up, dude.
Yeah.
Their defense is in a world of trouble
right
now.
How about the offensive line giving up 7 sacks?
Yeah, the offensive line giving up 7 sacks.
Shocking. I mean, they did start 0-2 last year. I think they were 1-2. They were the exact same.
They beat Dallas to get their first win here last year,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, I mean, this is it's not like uncharted waters for Baltimore. They'll be just fine.
With the Steelers, Bengals, Browns, they'll still win that division.
But that was really impressive for Detroit. And I know, like, I had Detroit as one of my bold predictions. They're going to miss it. Man, Kelvin Shepard's got that defense playing really well. 8 coaches that they lost. I think Dan Campbell, this could be his coach of the year season if he's able to keep this thing afloat. That's a hell of a coaching job.
I don't know who the new OC is. They said his name a couple of times last night, but that was a really cool play with the handoff to the wide receiver, St. Brown, who then flipped it to the running back.
That was awesome. That was a 2-point conversion play, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sounds about right. That, no, it was a 4th down.
Yeah, Campbell got that from the Saints. Saints ran that play when he was on the staff.
And they
there.
Had to flip to Montgomery. Yeah. Montgomery Epic. Back to Goff. Yeah. Then Goff finds St. Brown. They had a couple of trick plays that were pretty fun.
Mike Gundy fired at Oklahoma State, 21 seasons in the job.
About time.
He's 58 years old, which means it's been 18 years since I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah.
But
hell of a run there for Gundy.
Yeah.
If you don't embrace the transfer portal and paying kids and all that stuff like that, Dabo Sweeney's going the same path. You know, you got to adjust to these things. You got to be that. You can't just sit there and be, this is who we are, and this is, you know, the program would be better, blah, blah, blah. If you don't adjust to the times, you're going to get left behind, and you're starting to see that at Oklahoma State, and you're starting to see that at Clemson a little bit.
They had 60 new players this year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
They had an overhaul. Yeah.
Well, Memphis had 70 and beat Arkansas the other day.
Wow. So if you get it right, you can do amazing things. But it makes me feel like I wonder, are they just kind of like farm systems? Everybody recruits their players, and then whoever is good is going to leave unless the boosters come up with $1 million.
Yeah, the teams, the interesting, these games where it's like the really goods against the mid-level teams, you're evaluating the mid-level team, and if mid-level team player has a really good game against you, you're going in the transfer, you're talking that kid into coming and playing for you is what you're doing. You're really, that's why these early season games, the Sam Houstons that Texas is playing and the UTEPs and, you know, UT San Antonio. UT San Antonio is better, though, but you're just evaluating. I mean, if I was working at one of these schools, I would just evaluate all the teams that are those, the second tier teams, and I would just start picking off your players is what I would do. That's the way everything's going to go. The teams that are the haves are going to end up with. And look what Texas Tech's doing. Yeah. Texas Tech's defense has gotten remarkably better because they've got money now.
And if you want to stay where you were and say, we're not buying into that, we're going to do it our way and we're going to be different.
You're going to get fired.
You get three wins and then you get blown out by Oregon and then you lose to Tulsa for the first time in 74 years, I think is what happened there. And he is gone. So best of luck to Oklahoma State. I mean, it's incredible. In 2021, they had 12 wins. In 2023, they had 10 wins. And felt like they were bumping along and, you know, competing in the Big 12. And then bam, it's all over. Is no doubt it hit a tipping point here, the new college football landscape over the last 24 months or so. We got to run G-Bag Nation. We got the G-Bag of the Day champ on the other side and Woolchuck's top 10 at 220. Buddy, what's the subject?
Top 10 trash talkers in all of sports. 877-881-1053. Who's the best trash talker in sports history? That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Woolchuck's top 10 here in just a second. Got the G-Bag of the Day here for you. And the segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius with our champion.
After you back it up and stop. Why? Drop it like it's hot. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan. We play the champ right about here. Our champion, champion audio right here going for day number two. It is Fred from the Fan After Dark. I don't know how to describe this. Let's see. He sounds like an artist on tour, and this is 30th city. 30th city.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios. Thanks for turning it on, leaving it on. 105.3 The Fan.
Welcome in H-Town. Glad to have each and every one of you on board on a Sunday
H-Town.
Morning.
H-Town.
Oh, my God. Did I just say
Freddie D, there's nobody like him, is there?
No, he's a incomparable one.
He is a one of one.
All right, Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, Austin.
Want to get away?
Yeah. Really is a Southwest commercial, man.
Man, it's tough. Good thing Fred's been around here for, what, year and a half or so now?
Yeah.
I mean, if you just show up in a town like a concert and do that, the concert is whipped at that point. There's no recovering from that. You better nail everything, every song, just as it sounds on the record. And maybe the fans will forgive you.
Maybe.
All right, here's Woolchuck, the Woolly Bully, Zach with an H, your top 10.
Thank you very much, 877-881-1053. Who are the greatest trash talkers in the history of sports, and who do you think currently might be the best trash talker? But it is a Toxic Tuesday.
Probably Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, the glove. Certainly I saw mentioned on quite a few lists when I was looking through some of this. It is a toxic Tuesday.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, McGregor should
be
hot.
Who the F is that guy?
Who is that guy? Yeah, Conor is going to be high on this one.
For sure.
Very,
you talking
very
about
high.
The list still?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Apparently, if we're talking about...
And just every day, you know, in daily life, Conor, a high one.
And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, if we're including against his own teammates, apparently.
Yeah. He got into that altercation with one of the rookies on Filthy. And then him and Baker just went at it on a Monday night a couple nights ago. They took that to social media. I don't think he's going to be signing in Tampa Bay.
Or Philly.
Probably not welcome back in Philly. I was wondering initially, like, would he be back in Filthy? And then you reminded me of that Pivot podcast. And it's like, no, probably not there. Maybe Detroit. I think that was one of his other stops. Does Man Campbell want him back? Maybe he likes that. But tensions got a little high between Dave Portnoy and Greg Olsen as we go to one of Barstool Sports shows that Portnoy is hosting with Gruden and Greg Olsen. I guess Greg comes on every Monday, and I guess Portnoy was just going after him for his attire.
Well, I mean, the shirt with the hat.
Well, the hat is just because I haven't done my hair this morning.
A logo-less hat? It looks like you're heading straight to the NLCS or something to call a game.
Know. No,
unbelievable, just straight look here.
Hey, listen, I'm just going to be honest. If I'm going to keep getting a hard time from this show, I might just bag Monday morning. Just be like, you know what? You guys are on your own. Deal with it. Good luck.
Well, I mean, this look, it was preposterous. So I'll try to, I will try not to. You did bag it last week, by the way, but I'll try.
I might bag it again next week.
I'll try not to get in on you, but at least don't look like you're going to be an AL ump or something. Okay. You guys had a great segment, first of all.
At what point are you like Mr. Fashion? You've got some bad outfits. You're real critical of everybody else's look for a guy who's not the best looking guy in the world. Let's just be
well,
clear.
There's a difference between not great looking and fashion. I can't control how I look. This is how God made me, Greg. But I can wear nice clothes and not look like no effort over here. Can we move past it?
I don't know. It's your show. You tell me.
Yeah, we're going to move past it.
Awkward. Sounds like they might be next week. It sounds like they might be moving on from that permanently.
That is, and Greg is awesome. I mean, we've gotten to have him on the pregame show plenty. I've gotten an interview. I know, Eric, you've gotten an interview.
Portnoy is a terrible dresser. And he is a terrible dresser.
And it's weird that Dave's going after Greg here because Greg's in a polo, and it is a hat that just doesn't have a logo.
Sure.
Whereas Dave's just wearing a Michigan hoodie and a hat.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing here, Dave?
I think he was just trying to bust balls and make it fun, and then he messed up. And maybe Barstool isn't the place for Olsen, you know? It's not a fit.
He's too nice.
He's very serious, nice football guy.
Yeah.
You know, Barstool is just sort of irreverent. Hey, we're edgy, you know? I don't think Olsen is edgy at all.
Yeah.
He's good looking, though. Man. I mean, give that to him. He's way better looking than Portnoy. Although the lettuce getting a little thin up top.
It is.
You know, I think at that point he probably owes himself a shaved head.
Yeah, I mean the hat's definitely a good look for him.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that he was getting a little bit saddened by the way Portnoy was
He was a little butthurt in here. Yeah. It's not what I would expect from him.
But I guess maybe he doesn't have much of a relationship with him because they just started that show at Fox. So it's like they don't really have that many interactions. And Portnoy was talking to him like it's one of his longtime buddies
lackeys. Yeah.
So
Portnoy is on one though. Like
he gives no bleeps.
His tweets or whatever get favored into my algorithm and liked and whatever. And he is super critical right now. Like I would think, what's going on, Dave? I mean, he's hammering everybody. Coming out guns blazing right and left.
Oh yeah, he dunked on Wilbon yesterday.
Yeah.
Is that the one that you saw?
I it was multiple.
Yeah. Well the Kimmel stuff.
What did he say about him?
Wilbon, when they were saying goodbye to Bruce Pearl because Bruce Pearl's hanging him up, Wilbon just said something about how Bruce Pearl's become a divisive figure or something.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah, interesting. How so? How the divisiveness? He didn't go into detail?
No, he did not go into detail. I'm not even familiar. I don't even know what Bruce Pearl does other than sweat.
I think Portnoy said that you only like people to speak on social issues if you agree with them. That was kind of the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I get it. All right. I know where he's headed there. All right. Let's get into the top 10 trash talkers in sports. This was a fun list. And currently, I mean, we got a lot of good texts flowing in. Larry Bird and Ric Flair Ric Flair, certainly. I mean, anytime, Lucius, you fire off those Ric Flair clips. And I get it. Like, that's showmanship. That's part of wrestling. Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson was great at that. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Crabtree versus Talib. That was a tremendous battle. And that goes back to Dallas Carter versus Berkner right here in our own backyard. The chain snatch. I think I saw Crabtree just do an interview. And he was asked who the biggest trash talker was, and he said off the field it was Richard Sherman. And he's got to be referencing the Richard Sherman interview with Aaron Andrews after the NFC Championship game, where he's like, you're going to try me with a sorry-ass receiver like Crabtree. That's the result you're going to get.
Sherman was great.
He took the microphone from her.
Can I ask our boxing expert, Lucius, a question? Lucius, where would you rank Muhammad Ali here?
He's definitely up there. He's up, top of the list, man. If he's not number one, he's number two.
Yeah, I would think that.
And he should be number one.
When I was thinking of the Jordans and the Larry Birds and stuff, I started thinking of Muhammad Ali as well. Like these guys.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali is going to be numero uno.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For sure.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, boxing's going to take the top two spots.
And what's my man that used to be with Muhammad Ali? They used to hype him up. I can't remember his name right now.
Brown?
Yeah!
Good pull.
That's the trash talker right there.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Was that his inspiration to go there? I don't know, but Reggie Miller was great with the Spike Lee stuff.
Oh, yes.
He had some massive moments. I don't know if he was like quick-witted and clever like some of the others.
Yeah, Steve Smith getting texted in here.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Smith had some good ones. Chael Sonnen, that is a great pull from the 817. In fact, Chael Sonnen should be number 10 over Ronda Rousey, who is number 10 on this list.
And yeah, she was just weird.
Yeah, and Ronda had some good lines, like, in her prime, like, when her and Misha Tate were going at it, and before she fought Holly Holm, she had a good line about, like, yeah, she doesn't get to go vacation a ton, but as soon as she knocks out Holly Holm, she'll have more time to do so, and then Holly just kicked her straight in the head and put her to sleep, and she was never the same after that. But I don't think of Ronda as one of the most savage trash talkers ever. She needs to be off this list. Chael, though, if you go back to Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva, that is some of the best trash talk you will see in sports. Chael has the gift of gab. We got some other texts coming in. A lot of Ali, 100%. Yeah. Larry Bird, Jordan Lewis. I mean, heck, last year, Jordan Lewis got under George Pickens' skin pretty good.
Yeah.
I miss Jordan Lewis.
Mm. He's balling out right now with Jacksonville, isn't he?
He's balling out.
Doing a really, really good job.
More takeaways than the whole Cowboys team.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Cortland Sutton from the 317.
Huh.
Does he bring a little something?
Maybe.
Not familiar with Cortland's
maybe
game.
SMU days. I don't know. I mean, I will get to play Cortland Sutton here in a few weeks. Oh, Luka. And I got a lot of Luka Doncic responses on social media.
Yeah, he likes to get in the mix.
Luka old shirt. Luka certainly
He'll hit you
will.
In like five different languages.
Yeah, he will. Nine is Shannon Sharp. Nothing.
So glad you broke. I was getting close.
Yeah, that was
pretty sure
too.
We got the air off-air alarm.
That was long. I felt like we needed to say something. But yeah, Shannon's got some good NFL Films moments. Somebody call the Coast Guard because we are beating the hell out of the Patriots right now. Number eight, John McEnroe.
Yeah.
Mostly towards the refs, though, right?
And
back in the day in tennis?
He kind of like hate talk himself.
He just led the league in anger.
Well, he's rackets and calling himself like an MF-er.
That was a pretty good era of tennis, though, with like him and Jimmy Connors would kind of go at it. And Bjorn Borg. I mean, Bjorn Borg being the foreigner and stuff really didn't, I mean, kind of a soft-spoken guy. But him and Jimmy Connors went at it pretty well.
Okay, is it Ivan Lend?
Yvonne Lendl.
Yvonne Lendl. So he has a line here. I've got more talent in my pinky than Lendl has in his whole body.
Yeah.
That's pretty good there from John McEnroe. Seven is Richard Sherman. And Richard Sherman, I mean, Stanford guy, very, very intelligent. He'd kind of just outthink you, outsmart you a little bit. Really, Jalen Ramsey should be on here. Some of the homework that he was doing, trying to get after his teammates in college or the receivers that he was playing against in college. Like, I'm DMing your girlfriends and all this. Like, Jalen Ramsey took mental warfare to a whole new level. Chad Ochocinco will be on this list. He's getting texted in. Oh, Lance Stevenson. Just blowing in LeBron James's ear.
Iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Floyd Mayweather Jr. comes in at number six. Conor McGregor coming in at number five on the list. Very fitting that they're right there next to each other. Chad Johnson is four.
He's up there. And he would say Fred Smoot.
Oh, Fred Smoot was good, too.
Had some interesting back and forth.
I mean, Courtland Finnegan, that guy was an agitator.
Definitely an agitator.
Right Andre up until Johnson Andre was a Johnson. Very soft-spoken individual, stoic. He must have just said the right stuff. And they did play twice a year, so maybe this was a buildup of frustration. But, yeah, he was able to trigger Andre Johnson. And then, oh, my gosh, the Carolina Panthers cornerback, Josh Norman.
Josh Norman.
Josh Norman went at it with Dez and OBJ. Mm-hmm. Josh Norman was definitely up there when it comes to trash talkers. Nate Diaz.
I think that was the night Dez said, round here we unload the clip. Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big story the following day.
The Packers tight end Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
He alleges that he says literally this, that he sometimes tells opponents that he's going to burn their childhood homes down.
Oh, wow. Tucker Kraft says that?
Yes.
I bet George Kittle gets after it. I mean, the guy's channeling the Joker.
That's an AI thing, huh?
No, I'm dead ball serious.
Nobody would say that, right?
I have the sound of it. I'll pull it for you.
I hope so.
It's AI sound.
That is wild. Tucker Kraft, you're a wild
Eric
man.
Eric imitating the tight end.
I think this is why
three,
players...
3-2, Tucker Kraft.
The players usually get quiet.
Childhood house down.
You just want that audio?
I think that's just scratching the surface of what those guys are saying back and forth out there.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably vile, vulgar, not safe for work. Yeah. Disgusting.
I mean, we get the safe for TV stuff, and that's a small percentage of it. I'm thinking Dylan Brooks. You know, some of the stuff that he's done.
Good pull.
How about you, basketball guys? Wasn't Kevin Garnett a famous
KG?
100%. Dude. 100.
Yep.
He's a bully.
He got wild.
I do have an NBA specific trash talking list. Maybe when we get closer to the start of the NBA season, we can break that one out.
Can't wait.
We also have Anthony Edwards. I mean, if you just watch the movie. On Netflix with Adam Sandler, he was basically acting as himself, and he was fantastic.
It's just different if the guy's talking like that, and then he jumps 45 inches into the air and throws down the greatest highlight dunk since Jordan. It's just different.
Top three, though, best trash talkers in sports. Michael Jordan at 3. Mike Tyson at 2.
Got the great Mike Tyson.
Yeah, it was unhinged, and you know, but the farther he got away from his last dose of medicine, the better it got.
But number one.
Number
is Muhammad Ali.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, he was a poet.
Trash talker in the history of
sports. Maybe the inventor of it, or at least the inventor of it in the mainstream media. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
Top 10 is in the books. Chief, what's next?
College Football Tuesday, Darty featuring the goodbye to Gundy. UNC has some serious problems, and them Red Raiders of Texas Tech getting it done. That's
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Next in the nation.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have Alejandro Osuna coming up at 3:20 in the Rangers Player Show. Looking forward to chatting with him. Here's the Chief.
All right. Okay, we get to double dip on old Alejandro.
We do.
He was fantastic when he got the call up earlier in the season with us.
Yeah.
Fun guy.
Mm-hmm. Baseball is life.
Who was the Heisman front runner this time last week? Do you guys remember?
Jeremiah Smith
was it our guy at Miami?
Yeah, it was old Carson Beck.
Oh yeah, gross.
Well, how one week can make a difference. There's a new leader in the clubhouse.
Our guy at Oklahoma,
Mr. John Mateer, +700.
Little Elm Zone, stand up
as the Heisman favorite. But the biggest jumper is that Fernando Mendoza, gentleman,
and he should be
with IU. Absolutely,
he had a big win like that in primetime.
He's quarterbacking his tail off. Yeah, Indiana with a huge win. So it's Mateer at OU and then Mendoza at Indiana. Those are your top two Heisman favorites right now. Then it's Oregon's Dante Moore tied with Carson Beck. Then you get to Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, and then Marcel Reed +1500 with the Aggies.
It's been a big one against Auburn. I think Auburn's, they've had some success against A&M in the past.
Yeah, and Hugh Freeze was saying that the Aggies are a more complete team, more difficult task than what Oklahoma was.
Wow.
And Oklahoma sacked them 10 times?
Yeah.
10 sacks, dude?
They had a safety seal the deal.
Yeah, the safety sealed the deal. I will say, them doing the tomfoolery with the player that's coming off the field. Yes.
Well, then Hugh Freeze lying about it afterwards, saying he called the timeout. I mean, we can see the video, Coach. He did not call a timeout.
Oh, I didn't realize he went. And
yeah, he went to the podium afterwards, and I get the frustration because yes, indeed, like it was a gimmick play that is illegal that OU ran to perfection, where they have a player that's trying to run off the field like it's a substitution, but he doesn't come all the way off the field. So now Auburn's not identifying him. They snap the ball, they throw a touchdown to him. But Hugh Freeze tried to pretend postgame that he called the timeout. He never did, Coach. Hugh Freeze, bad person. Not a good guy.
Yeah, he's had
should
some
get
issues.
Fired, and I don't think should get another shot.
They, like, can you say you called the timeout if you only said it with your mouth? If you're calling a timeout, you're throwing the T with the hands.
Well, we got like
you're always doing the T with the hands.
Camera still shot on the coach. There's
so
nothing said
read.
By the mouth. There's no hand, like he clearly does not do any timeout gesture.
And I would
verbal
argue
or physical.
Every timeout that's ever been called involved a coach doing the T with the hands.
Yes.
You're saying it and you're doing the sign language. It's just natural.
You don't stop until you're acknowledged.
Yeah.
You know, and then you demand that they look back and check the camera and add 2 seconds to the clock because dang it, you were on it.
Yeah. Every single time, dude. Okay. So goodbye, Mike Gundy, huh?
Yeah.
Pete Nakos is saying that it was shock around the program. As of about an hour ago now, the staff had not even been told that Gundy was going to be out. And he held his press conference yesterday where he's like, I'm under contract here for, I think, 3.5 years. Turned out it was
congratulations. You're
the
get
under
paid.
Hit on that one, boys.
$15 million to go away at 58 years old. He won today, you know, to get out of this environment.
He won.
Get this man on television somewhere, right?
I think so.
I think that's his only fallback. I don't know where else he goes.
Yeah.
I think he coached at Baylor and one other school for like 4 years. Mm. And then he catches on there at his alma mater and everything had been great. But you know, I don't know if he has like the interest in coaching elsewhere, but what would you be ready to do? You're not going to take a step back and go be a coordinator. You know what I think might really work for him is go be a big time high school football coach up there if he really wants to keep coaching.
Okay. Yeah. Why keep coaching? Just go ahead and go into media. You got similar hair to like Mel Kiper.
It works. You know, I mean, his personality, the voice, it's all there. But if you really love coaching, I think one of the issues is he's so dang old school. And
that's what I'm saying.
You have you're now trying to coach with professionals. Essentially, your players are professionals. And I think the dynamics tipped in a way that are not advantageous for us. I mean, some guys just love coaching. They don't know what to do if they're not.
I kind of feel like that he would be a much better broadcaster than a coach because I think he'll be pretty outspoken. Like he'll say things that like, listen, this NIL thing is, and he'll say something crazy off the wall or somebody will, like all these other coaches are kind of buttoned down. We're starting to see Saban be a little bit more open about things. Like Gundy right off the rip will be just like.
Gundy will be college football's Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
He's calling people out left and right.
Wacky as hell.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I've driven drunk plenty of times. I just never been caught. Are you kidding me? That was when I thought it started kind of really going off the rails. The Ollie Gordon DUI.
Yeah.
Just don't get caught, kids.
Yeah, I mean, like, he spent 35 of his 58 living years as either a Oklahoma State player, assistant, or head coach. So, and he had a dang good run. But, man, the game is passing by guys at a rapid rate right now. And he's just the latest. So elsewhere around college football, one of the things that I saw, the top 7 transfer portal classes in college football are all undefeated, 27-0. So the teams that crushed in the transfer portal and got the best players out of it, according to the ESPN ranking system.
Top 10?
It was like LSU was number 1. They had the best transfer portal class in the country coming into the season. They're obviously undefeated. We'll see how that goes this weekend. Texas Tech, second best transfer portal class. And they just had the statement win of the year.
That was a great win.
I mean, what do they do at quarterback now?
Well, if I think they go back to Morton if he's healthy, but I'm not rushing him back. I'd kind of like to see what Will Hammond could do starting a whole week.
I know. I mean, because Morton, it's not really an indictment on him, because especially last year he was awesome, but...
But he has not been able to stay healthy, and that's not even just him. That's just Texas Tech in general. They haven't been able to keep quarterbacks healthy.
That's a bummer.
So maybe the situation will just kind of fix itself.
Yeah, they had the number two transfer portal class. They're obviously undefeated. Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, Florida State, Missouri. Those are your top seven transfer portal classes, and they're all undefeated. So that just kind of gives you a window into the landscape of where we're at right now. And it's fun and frustrating all at the same time, I would say, because you can go from being bad to being really good in the blink of an eye or vice versa.
Come up with 15, 20 million bucks. That's the name of the game right there. I think Oklahoma State spent under three. That's about a quarter of what the real contenders are doing.
He got in a big argument or discussion with the guy at Oregon, right, before the game about this?
Dan Lanning.
Dan Lanning. He kind of called out Oregon for spending a lot of money.
I mean, that's a classic don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Dan Lanning's fault that he happens to coach for a university that's got deep pockets.
Yeah.
But it's exciting, I think, because, you know, the players get to get paid now, and any team that really wants to go for it, it's there. You can buy a playoff appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, you can, for sure. If you got somebody ready to foot the bill, it can happen for you really overnight. How about this? So Clemson has a road game at UNC. And because both those teams have been so bad, this is going to be an 11 a.m. kickoff at Chapel Bill.
Oh, this is UNC. I'm sorry. No. I thought you said state. My bad.
No, you're good.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that.
So, UNC is having Ludacris perform before the game. Supposed to have like some, and they were expecting this to be at least a late afternoon game, if not a night game.
He's going full Deion Sanders, Colorado style with this.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess I don't know how many programs are doing this on a regular basis, but now because of the early kick, we're going to be getting a live Ludacris show on campus at 9:45 in the morning.
Wow.
This was something they were expecting to be like probably a nighttime atmosphere. But this is going to be Ludacris for breakfast, which is just fantastic. Have
the Bloody Mary's flowing.
And you
breakfast beers.
Breakfast beers for all. And then you had John Gruden calling out your guy, old Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, what'd he say?
Because they were asking, he was being asked on Barstool about having like the way Bill Belichick has his girlfriend on the sideline and stuff.
And he blamed Mike for allowing it to happen?
Well, he's like, he goes, I've never seen anything like that. And then he decided to name drop Mike Lombardi. He says, you know, Mike Lombardi works for North Carolina. I've heard him criticize me several times. I'm sure he'll produce a TikTok today explaining exactly what was going on there. So I don't know if they have any type of...
Oh, that's... Yeah.
It gets a little beefy there. Yeah, well, Lombardi was... He was no holds bar when it comes to his criticisms once he got into the media.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
So John Gruden's like, never seen anything like the way Bill Belichick has his girlfriend there on the sidelines and just all around the team during the game. And then he had a little shot there for old Mike Lombardi.
Mike needs to lay low.
And then, by the way, we saw yesterday that Lane Kiffin's daughter hard launched her boyfriend, which is the linebacker
Whit Weeks
for LSU.
That's such a badass name.
And it's Ole Miss and LSU week. And Lane Kiffin saw the photo and just wrote the words, "Take the over." So he's going to be playing with a little extra emotion, I would say.
Lane's having a great week.
This is just crazy. I mean, it's a great week right up until your daughter sort of dunks on you. That's what this feels like. I don't know how, as a dad, you're able to sort of try and bounce back from this other than totally embarrass Whit Weeks and find a way to get him on your best receivers and make him go in coverage. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how this goes.
I think with a daughter like that, I think since she's about 15 or 16, you're just in for like, oh, geez, what did we? I think eventually you get like desensitized to it. It sucks. He's got a boyfriend.
He's felt this for years.
Yeah, welcome to my world now.
Is this the daughter that he always does TikToks with?
Yeah, I believe so.
They do the fit. They always do the fit.
The game day fits
and stuff.
Yeah, Landry, I believe is her name. And then Sydney Thomas confirmed on like Cold as Balls or whatever that he was the coach that slid into her DMs after that Jake Paul fight where she went viral.
Yeah.
She had the big jugs.
The McGuffies.
The McGuffies.
Yeah, yeah. What she said, it was Lane Kiffin who was the one. And you know what he said? He slid into the roll DMs tide. And he just said, roll tide. Oh,
wow. What a character.
That's good for recruiting.
All right, we got 1 hour down, 3.5 to go. Winds of change blowing across the Cowboys. Is Shoddy talking about changing this, that, or the other thing? Should we also evaluate how they're drafting and how we feel about what they've put up there the last 4 years? Let's talk about that, the Rangers, everything else that's been developing in your sports world here throughout the day. It's coming up next year. G-Bag Nation, Alejandra Osuna coming up at 3:20, and we're back with more sports here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.